We have to actually start today on page 585, the last bit. But since it is the last chapter, very quickly we can just touch upon the key points. So this is the last chapter of Essays on the Gita, chapter 24, the message of the Gita. And the very first passage gives us a very powerful message. Life is not for the sake of life alone, but for God. And the living soul of man is an eternal portion of the Godhead. So very first, he sets our identity correct. We are portions of the Godhead and we are here to fulfill God in man. Action is for self-finding, for self-fulfillment, for self-realization. Page 572. I am just reading some passages here and there, lines. Then I will come to the main. Action is for self-finding, for self-fulfillment, for self-realization, and not only for its own external and apparent fruits of the moment or the future. So this is about the law of desire, ego, and the entire paraphernalia for which we act, or simply a mechanical compulsion under which we act. So action is not meant for any of these. It's a means to discover ourselves, to discover the divine self, to fulfill and to express the divine in life. So this is what we had read. And the first step that Sri Krishna would want us to practice, and it's there in Sri Aurobindo's yoga also, is to be rooted in knowledge. And this knowledge is not book knowledge. Book knowledge is a preparation. To be rooted in knowledge means to be rooted in the true self. Because unless we are rooted there, all our action will be flawed. Very simply, if I think I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, this action is meant to make me happy, then I have not yet started karma yoga. I may be working in, in an ashram department, or anywhere in the world in the name of God. But basically, I am only gratifying my ego. So first step is to find oneself, whatever place one is in. And to find oneself, Sri Krishna advocates, turn the buddhi. Buddhi is a product of nature, but the highest. It's like nature has opened a door for us. So turn the buddhi, the discerning intelligence, within and upward. Normally, it is engaged with the world outside, trying to understand all that is happening outside. But it must turn within and it must turn upward rather than down below. Buddhi turned down below means engaged in, Sri Ramakrishna has described very beautifully, that vultures may be strong and they may fly high, but their eyes are fixed on the piece of meat which is below. So it's where your intelligence is fixed. So the first step is the buddhi turned within and upward. So this is the buddhi yoga, which is the first thing. And then comes, we had already read about it, and then comes the action. After buddhi yoga comes karma yoga. So in karma yoga, the big obstacle in karma has been regarded as a bondage in traditional literature, and it's regarded as a bondage because the moment action comes, results, desires, expectations, hopes, the entire paraphernalia which draws the consciousness outward, fixes it on outward objects. When we get them, we are happy. When we lose them, we are unhappy. And we are only swinging in a seesaw of success, failure, good, bad results, and so on and so forth. So considering this is a line of yogic thinking, regarded action as a problem. Action is the bondage, because the moment you act, you will act for result. So what to do? You cannot escape action because action will happen. So they reduce life into two kinds of actions. One is action which is ritualistic action. So you engage in prayers, worship, and for life sustenance. And the other action, the larger action in the world which all of us are engaged in, has to be slowly cut off. So the whole four seasons of life, where toward the end you are gradually putting the brakes and cutting off from action. And then moksha or deliverance means action is the one which is binding us to fruits. Because we are seeking the fruits, we find fruits here or elsewhere. or in another life. So if you cut off the engines of action, then you are free. If at all it was as simple as that. So sannyasis have taken to extreme degree of cutting off of the action. Now for the first time, the Gita brings us a bold relief. It's there in the Vedas, but not developed so much. The Gita brings in the bold relief that action itself can be a means of self-discovery. So what we have to do is, just instead of acting under the impulsion of desire, do your action as a service to the divine. So this is the basic difference, remember and offer. But here also, the biggest problem is what binds us is the fruit that we are looking at. Fruit is something external which is going to happen in the future. So Sri Krishna gives us the simplest but very powerful advice of Nishkam Karma. He even goes on to say, if you practice only this, it will free you to a large extent. It's so true. Any action, the fruit may come. It may come before the action, it may come later on. For example, if you have done something and someone says, oh, this is so wonderful. Now, you know, you have tasted the fruit. Or somebody says, this was not so good. You could have done it this way. So fruits are the one which are binding us. Whereas action should be only to, ideally, in the service of the divine alone knows, and it starts and ends, and nothing as a follow-up thereafter. So action is to be done freed from the fruits, and if we can do that, do it as a dedicated service to the divine, then we, through action itself, arrive at something greater and higher. And Sri Krishna reveals the secret. He says, origin of action is myself. He says two wonderful things. One is that, etada yonihi, I am the womb of all creation. And action, and the force for action is released from me. Visarga. So origin of action is not the human ego. The force comes from the divine. So what we have to do is to align with the divine will. That's the basic secret of action. If we can align with the divine will, we can be engaged in the mightiest of action, building an empire or destroying another. And yet we would be free inside. So through the Karma Yoga, this is what Karma Yoga is. He teaches us the law of karma in the rightest and the highest possible sense. So the whole purpose is to align ourselves with the divine will. The disturbance of alignment or the misalignment comes because of two main entities. Desire, in a generic sense, desire takes many forms. Lust or fears, all of them are coming from desire. Because I desire a certain result, I develop fear, what if I don't get it? So that also stops a jugupsa. So desire, and the second is ego. So what do? Impulsion for action comes from the divine, they deflect it. So if we can learn how to quieten these two modes and continue with the action through remembrance, through offering, by opening ourselves to the divine, Shobhinda has now added so many other simple ways, then this action itself can lead us to fulfillment and not to bondage. So Gita leads us to the secret that step by step it reveals. We'll read that, so I'll not talk about it right now. Then what is left is love or bhakti. So in the Gita, love comes at the end. And same pattern Sri Aurobindo follows in the synthesis of yoga. And the reason is because many people take bhakti as a shortcut. And inwardly, if the ego and desire are not settled, then bhakti takes the form of artharthi or arth. So the Gita admits it, but takes it as a two inferior forms of bhakti. Artharthi is a transactional relation with God. Arth is in distress we call God. And because we know that distress signals may arise, we want to please God. Okay, somehow we should be in good terms with him, so that whenever we call him, he will respond. So we believe, it's our belief. And then the third kind of bhakta, which is a category which starts entering into yoga, is the jigyasu, the seeker after knowledge, the God knower. And the real bhakta, real God lover, is the jnani, who knows the divine. And therefore he is never deterred by whatever happens in his environment. To give an example, if one is a jigyasu and not a jnani, so one is doing bhakti for the Lord and something happens which is your ego doesn't like it or your desired self is hit by it. So the jigyasu artharthi will say, why this didn't happen? Probably I should go to some other god, or probably there is no god. This is how the average reaction will be. A jigyasu will say, I want to understand why this happened. And a jnani will smile and say, I know why this happened. His love will remain undeterred because he knows. And we have taken several examples of this, that a jnani understands that whatever the divine is doing for our soul's perfection. That's the one thing which is in his heart and mind, because he knows the sooner our soul arrives at its fullness and perfection, the better it is for us. So this is what we had read. And as a result of it, we'll grow in equanimity. And then we come to page 585, where we had stopped. Now Shri Krishna reveals, this, however, is not all the truth of the yoga. And this end and way of departure, though a great end and a great way, is not the thing I propose to you. For I am the eternal worker within you, and I ask of you works. Now, what kind of work he is demanding from us? I demand of you not a passive consent to a mechanical movement of nature. People can do it in, let's say, ashram, that it happens. The mechanical mode comes in after some time. Oh, what I have to do? I have to do this. Like you would work anywhere else. So it's my job description. One goes mechanically. One is in whatever state. Goes, does the work. Feels, oh, I didn't get so much happiness. Oh, this person behaved like this. After some time, we go back to the same mechanical mode, which is anywhere else. So he says, it's not a mechanical movement of nature from which in yourself you are wholly separated, indifferent and aloof, but action complete and divine, done as the willing and understanding instrument of the divine. So one is mechanical movements is continuing, but I am separate inside. But now the demand is to be a willing instrument. Just if this thought comes in, everything that is done through us would be just wonderful, because now it's no more me, I. It is the Divine Mother's work. And if it's the Divine Mother's work, I will like to do it to the best of my ability. I would not say it doesn't matter whether it's successful or failure. I'll want success, not because of me, but because it's the Divine Mother's work. So this is where the change will come. So we will not be indifferent and aloof. It will be done as the willing and understanding instrument of the Divine. Understanding instrument. Done as the willing. Okay. Done for God in you and others and for the good of the world. This is a perfect description. It's not done for satisfying my ego, my ideas, my whims and fancies. What will lead to the maximum good, lok sangrahaarth, good of the world? That will be the nature of the action. Few lines below on the same page. I ask of you the action of the Jivan Mukta. So this is what is the state. We don't take moksha by withdrawing out of the world. But while being in the world, we are not of the world. And there is a beautiful example of water on the leaf, dewdrop, which is there on the leaf, but it's not sticking to the leaf. So this is the state of the Jivan Mukta. The works of the Siddha, something has to be added to the yoga already described, for that was only first yoga of knowledge. There is also a yoga of action in the illumination of God experience. Works can be made one spirit with knowledge. So first it is nishkam karma, then I must know what mother wants of me. One is that I am doing a work, I don't care for the results. I am doing it as dedicated to the mother. But what is it that the divine wants of me? So that comes the next step, where even the doer is gone and one just waits for the divine command. Okay, so we'll come to the next page, 586. The first step on this free, this equal, this divine way of action is to put from you attachment to fruit and recompense and to labor only for the sake of the work itself that has to be done. For you must deeply feel that the fruits belong not to you, but to the master of the world. Consecrate your labor and leave its return to the spirit who manifests and fulfills himself in the universal movement. So how this happens? Practical example. Say you work in an ashram. So you start noticing somebody is given more priority. Somebody is given a better house. Somebody is given closer to the seat of power. This is what is distracting us. We don't want any of these things. We want closeness to the divine. And I've taken this example of Gangadharanji. You had such wonderful experiences, supramental experiences. And how when once mother went to one of the department, he was staying in a little room, dark room, dingy room, no ventilation. And as he comes out, he was waiting. Mother is coming, so he's folded hands. And so mother said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I am staying here." Who has put him here? Then Amrita had to answer. He was giving rooms. So he said, "You have given him this room to my child? Is this a room to stay?" And Amrita, his usual way, is smiling. "Yes, mother, we'll..." But Gangadharanji says with folded hand, "No, no, no, mother. This is very good for me. I can remember you always, mother." He is feeling. This is the way of, divine works, which... It doesn't matter, because you're not looking for any of those rewards. You're not comparing that somebody is doing less work, somebody is doing more work. In the ashram itself, this movement had taken a very dark state at one point of time under the banner Sri Aurobindo Ashram Beneficiary Association. It was a completely movement of falsehood, because you are comparing who is given what, who is being given what, who is being made a trustee, who is being made a head of departments. All these are distractions. It doesn't matter who you are and what you have been given. Your aim is only to serve her and the joy of service. Where you will be, what you will do, is for her to determine. So that's why he is reminding us again and again. It must be done. Fruits belong to the master. Consecrate your labor and leave its returns to the spirit. We are so lucky we can say to the mother. Spirit sounds very... An entirely desireless and disinterested working of the personal will and the whole instrumental nature is the first rule of Karma Yoga. Demand no fruit. Accept whatever result is given to you. Accept it with equality and a calm gladness, successful or foiled, prosperous or afflicted. Continue unafraid, untroubled and unwavering on the steep path to the divine action. Many things will come to distract. Are you are working so much? Why this has not been recognized? Why somebody else is getting advantage? These are the voices of falsehood. And one should be so careful. Stay away. If they come, put some cotton, thick cotton. Just keep smiling that I am getting what I want. Which is closeness to the mother. And he says this is only the first step on the path. Second is, cease to regard your works as your own. As you have abandoned the fruits of your work, so you must surrender the work also to the Lord of action and sacrifice. What it means is very simple, and I have said that we have a tendency, this is my work, I can leave it, I can do whatever way. So there is the story of which Maniven used to say in Golkund. One day, Monadi, Udhar Pinto's wife, she said, "I am going. I want to go 10 minutes early because I have to participate in the group." So she said, "Have you finished your work?" She said, "More or less, only one little file noting is left. I'll do it tomorrow." She said, "What if mother comes just now?" She said, "But mother is not going to come." She said, "What if she comes?" Now she realized that what is expected. You have been given a work. Do it fully to the best of your abilities. But if you think it's my work, then I can leave, I can play with it, I can do things with it. So it's not my work. Simple thing we have to remember, it's not my work. Whatever be the outer instrumental personality which has handed over, that's an arrangement of the world play. But this is the mother's work. So I must do it with that fullness idea within, that it is mother's work and I must do it with that attitude and that idea. So the next step is know that you are an eternal portion of the eternal, and the powers of your nature are nothing without him, nothing if not his partial self-expression. Practically it means somebody saying, what a lovely work you did. So, see, I'm so good. And then comes the critical eye, that person is not doing good, this person is not doing good. No, you are concerned with, if something good has happened, it's mother's blessing, truly. Be grateful. If something has not happened well, so I have to be more tuned to her. I was not so well tuned, that's why somewhere the flip-flop took place. So I should be more and more tuned to her, and that's the way of rectifying from within. So the next is that it is, you are only a portion of the eternal, nothing else. So in ashram context, mother would say often, I give work, I don't give positions, because people would ask, what position? There is no position. In mother's ministry, there is no position, there is work. Whatever work you are given, stay with that. Don't start bullying, bossing. It's beautiful to see ashram like that. Nobody does that. You are concerned with your work, nothing else. You are given a work, deal with it. But you are not boss, superior, inferior. All these feelings are contrary to yoga. So she says, he says, next know that you are an eternal portion of the eternal, and the powers of your nature are nothing without him, nothing if not his partial self-expression. Give up the idea of indispensability. Nobody is indispensable. It's like you take out water from your hand from the water. How much time the mark will remain? That is the... Give up then all sense that you are the doer. See the eternal alone as the doer of the action. Offer up your will to him and make it one with his eternal will. Surrender all your actions in the silence of yourself and spirit to the transcendent master of your nature. And these things happen very unconsciously. In All India magazine, they used to earlier publish photographs. This happened here, that happened here. Some so-and-so function was organized. If you remember some of the old All India magazines. So I asked them that, why all this we are publishing after? Said, no, this is the norm. I said, this is un-yogic. What happened? Somebody did what? And a study camp was held and so-and-so came and took a lecture. As an information, it's okay. You have passed the information. After that, it's finished. The moment you are doing all that means you are taking a credit. You are a doer of something. That's contrary to the very spirit of yoga. Because it's the Lord who has done through you. So all this should go away quite naturally from our nature. And it is the divine will which must be sovereign. Then page 588. The mind of knowledge and the will of action are not all. There is within you a heart whose demand is for delight. Straight away from here, if we are truly doing the action or work of the mother in the true spirit, we will be filled with joy. It doesn't matter where we are doing and what we are doing. If joy is missing, something is fundamental is missing. It's not about that work is good or bad. It's my attitude which needs to be corrected. Any work can be done and one can get delight in it if we are doing it with the, because this is the core. Now Shrivindu is touching the core. But an integral knowledge brings a greater triple delight. Few lines below. It opens the gates of the transcendence bliss. It releases into the limitless delight of a universal impersonality. It discovered the rapture of all this manifestation. For there is a joy of the eternal in nature and very powerful. This ananda in the jiva, a portion here of the divine, takes the form of an ecstasy founded in the Godhead who is his source, in his supreme self, in the master of his existence. So how do we know that you have found the psychic being? You will be always in a state of joy. And this is a perfect example. Perfect example is, you may be going anywhere as a child. No? Children, we have all traveled. We have traveled with parents. Parents is a good example. Now, do you have to worry? Do you have to think? You are in a state, you know that you are all the time with parents who are taking care of everything. You are simply like the baby cat doing ma, 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 enjoying. If the baby cat pushes, you have to learn, you are doing that. But you are always with that awareness. Not just awareness, is a very mild word. You are conscious of the Divine Mother's presence. There is no way that there will be any other than joy, anything else. So if anything else is coming, it's a sign that something has come between me and the mother. And that something is called Mr. Ego and Miss Desire. And sometimes their child, Mr. Ambition, Master Ambition. So this is what you have to get rid of. Therefore, on page 589, it says, and what is the sign of God love? Okay, on page 588, last two lines. An entire God love and adoration extends to a love of the world and all its forms and powers and creatures. In all, the divine is seen, is found, is adored, is served, or is felt in oneness. A very important sign, because the Gita speaks of this. And the Isha Upanishad says that you begin to see God in all creatures, everywhere, in everything. Add to knowledge and works this crown of the eternal triune delight. Admit this love, learn this worship, make it one spirit with works and knowledge. This is the apex of the perfect perfection. So the moment we begin to see the divine in everyone and everything, so then divine work is not only doing the samadhi work inside the ashram. Any work, anywhere. This is a preparation. Ultimately, any work, anywhere. You should be able to do it with that sense of the divine within you. This yoga of love will give you a highest potential force for spiritual largeness and unity and freedom. But it must be a love which is one with God knowledge. Few lines below. Develop in yourself this God-engrossed love, the heart spiritualized and lifted beyond the limitations of its lower nature, will reveal to you most intimately the secrets of God's immeasurable being, bring into you the whole touch and influx and glory of His divine power, and open to you the mysteries of an eternal rapture. It is perfect love that is the key to a perfect knowledge. So knowledge with only Jnana Yoga is like sitting in the study room and having a discussion, conversation with the owner of the house and believing that you know him. Many people have this problem because they think they've read a book or they understand the man. You don't understand the man, even human beings. You have to understand the dreams of that person. Maybe you have to go to that inmost chamber. Then you begin to understand in everything how the person acts, reacts. That's why this book, which mother appreciated so much, you see, very often we don't read some of these books. We just read all the Life Divine, Synthesis of Yoga, Essays on the Gita. 12 years with Sri Aurobindo. And mother said it brings out an aspect of Sri Aurobindo, which very few people know. Why? Because it's like you understand the divine how in totality. And what an example for all of us. I mean, it's a very humbling experience. Sri Aurobindo is fumbling with the fan. So Champaklalji asked him, sir, what do you want? He said, no, I'm trying to figure out where is the switch. So he immediately switches on and, oh, that simple, like a child. What would be our attitude normally? We'll ask somebody to switch on the fan. Sri Aurobindo would do everything himself. Champaklalji requested him that, can I wash your clothes? He said, are you sure? It is going to be very difficult. Then he conceded. For a long time, many people may not know this. You see how he has lived even as after identification with the Lord. He would live upstairs now in the present ashram building. And there was no bathroom for a long time in the room. It's been later on carved out. So where would he go for bathroom whenever he has to come? He would walk down the stair. You see, when you come down, left side is Niruddha's room, right side is the bathroom. He would come down and go to the bathroom. They used to be, the only thing was that they would put a little curtain when Shubhendu is walking there. Just imagine. I am the guru of this ashram. You people cannot provide nothing. Mother had her own room after 1951. It was right there next to Shurbindo, where now it's called interview room. It was interview, sleeping, everything. Why? Because she's in service of Shurbindo. Any time there is a need, she can just cross over and come. After 51, Dhyuman Bhai requested. Then 54, finally, she had her room. Just imagine how they have shown. Nothing, claiming nothing, wanting nothing. This is the path. So, God and gross love. So it leads to the integral work. So now we come to page 590. So love, knowledge, works must all come together. Page 590, about 10 lines from below. But even before that, this passage ends with love is the crown of works and the crown of knowledge. If bhakti is born inside, you are through. You are already at the gate showing the identity card to enter his mansion. That's the significance of bhakti. If bhakti is not born, then works, knowledge is still not arrived at its ripeness. It's like a fruit which pickle can be made. But you have to wait. Bhakti makes it ripe like ripe mango. So something is missing. An integral union of the individual's being, next passage. This love that is knowledge, this love that can be the deep heart of your action, will be your most effective force for an utter consecration and complete perfection. And you will see, when you are doing work out of love, and when you are doing work because it's a duty, that's why never tell your personal people, no, that it's my duty. The person may say, what? I'm your duty? But, well, with the world it's duty only. But with the divine it's love. It's an act of love. And when we do something as an act of love, there is a difference. We are ready to do anything, go to any extent, and there's a great joy inside. It's not about, the outer action. So this is what he reminds us, beautiful lines in the same passage. An integral union of the individual being with the divine being is the condition of a perfect spiritual life. Turn then all together toward the divine. Make one with him by knowledge, love and works, all your nature. Turn utterly towards him and give up ungrudgingly into his hands your mind and your heart and your will, all your consciousness and even your very senses and body. What it means, giving the senses and the body. And mother speaks of it in one of her conversations. Giving the senses, oh, that's what a horrible place. Why am I here? Body, oof, it's so hot. My workplace, I need an AC in my office. I need. That's where we have not given the body and the senses. And the mother speaks of this, that perfect surrender of the physical consciousness means you are equal to these things. Now the Gita speaks of it, but Gita doesn't speak in so many words. Gita says, Sheet oshna sukh dukeshu hani labho jaya jayo. You are equal minded, doesn't matter. And Mirabai in one of her bhajan says, very beautiful, one of, I'm sure, many people's favorites. She says, Karna fakiri fir kya dilagiri sada magan mein rehna ji. So she says, Kaho to motiyan mang jadawa, kaho chitkara kes. If you want me to braid my hair with pearls, I will do it because it pleases you. You have provided me, I'll use it. But if you give me nothing and you want me just to roam around like Kali, Karali, I'll do that. One day I'll sleep on the floor and I'll have no complaint. But if you give me a nice bed, I'll sleep there too because it's your gift. You see the difference, that One is, no, I won't do this, I won't do. You are trying to prove to the world that you are detached. But you are very attached to your detachment. But the other is, if you keep me in whatever, bala mein bairagan banungi, jo jis roop mein, whatever form you want to keep me, whatever state and condition you want to keep me, I will stay in that state and condition. So, the physical consciousness especially is the biggest hurdle in that. The physical consciousness, the senses, where am I working, I want a good office, I want this, that. If you are surrendered, you are surrendered. Wherever the divine keeps you is wonderful. Let your heart become a lucid or flaming heart of the divine. Let your will be an impeccable action of his will. Let your very sense and body be the rapturous sensation and body of the divine. Adore and sacrifice to him with all you are. Remember him in every thought and feeling, every impulsion and act. Persevere until all these things are wholly his. So we will see that there are moments when the ego comes in. When the ego comes in, there will be narrowness, shut down, we'll be unhappy, we'll get restless, we'll look for alternatives. That's Mr. Ego. Sometimes it creeps through a back door. Oh, they don't understand me. I am meant for this. This is my capacities. But this is not how the divine operating system is. See, when Nirodha came, he was given the timber godown. He's a England educated doctor. So he writes letter to Sri Aurobindo, sir, I don't think I am capable of doing this. I have been trained in medicine and you see, if I do this, this may just go to the devil. It's as good as giving it to the devil. And Sri Aurobindo said, no, you have changed it. Earlier it was with the devil. Your coming has made a difference to it. He says, okay. Then later on, he puts it into the medical thing. And later on, he takes him up for writing Savitri. So, we should be clear on these fundamentals that if the aim is to unite with the divine, just divine will, one has to surrender and obey. Doesn't matter, ego can take a hit. The sooner, the better it is. The sooner it goes, the less it cries, the better it is. So this is the path that they have shown to us. This is the triune way. And then we have on page 591. Now he is revealing us on the second paragraph. And he says, what happens if you go through it? You develop sadharma gati, madbhav, all that he... You are all the time full of the divine consciousness and your nature begins to be molded according to the human divine nature. And then the beauty is many times the meaning of the words changes because the meaning of the word is we are taking it literally only verbally. Then you begin to understand in a deeper context why the Lord has written what he has written. So page 591, about 10-12 lines. Human action is a thing full of difficulties and perplexities, tangled and confused like a forest. So this is the Gita, Gahano Karmani Gati. So many things are mixed. With a few more or less obscure paths, cut into it rather than through it. But all this difficulty and entanglement arises from the single fact that man lives imprisoned in the ignorance of his mental, vital and physical nature. He is compelled by its qualities and yet afflicted with responsibility in his will because something in him feels that he is a soul who ought to be what now he is not. All his laws of living, all his dharmas must be under these conditions, imperfect, temporary and provisional, and at best only partly right or true. So, in the world, if we come to the ashram in Auroville, it's easy because then we take, I don't know how it works in Auroville, but in ashram it's very simple. Whatever work mother gave, you take it and accept it as your way. Later on, it continued. So, with the trustees, same thing. Wherever you want to send, it could be, you could be a doctor and work in dining room. It's perfectly fine because you are not here to show what you wear or what you have done. But you are here to grow into the divine consciousness. Then the divine will put you in your true place and the right place. But in the beginning, because people come sometimes, especially for the ashram, and they, once somebody showed me his resume and said, I have been a teacher in this college and all this. So I said, what do you want? He said, I want to join the ashram. I said, seriously? I said, throw this out of the window. He said, no, I want to give it to the trustees. I said, your wish. They will take it and keep it. But it doesn't work like that. And there are so many examples. Mother has trained the, you know, it's trained like that. Your first thing is to give up all these ideas. I am this. I am meant to do this. Who knows what mother has intends through you? Who knows what is hidden inside you? Whatever I may be doing till now may be just a play of the ego. So, he reminds us that human action is entangled. And by the qualities we are compelled. Qualities are the three gunas. So, we do act according to sabhava and sadharma. All is laws of being, all is dharma. So, dharma here is referring to the sabhava and sadharma. When he has once achieved a true consciousness and knowledge, there is no longer any problem, for then he acts freely out of himself and lives spontaneously in accordance with the truth of his spirit and his highest nature. At its fullest, at the highest height of this knowledge, it is not he who acts but the divine, the one eternal and infinite who acts in him and through him in his liberated wisdom and power and perfection. So this is the state we have to arrive at, where the divine is always with us, acts through us, in us, wherever we may be, whatever outwardly we may be doing. That is the condition of the perfect Jivan Mukta. Then he says that the three kinds of gunas under which we normally act. All this has been done, but because it's a summary, page 592. His tamasic, his is of course human beings, his tamasic, material, sensational mind, subject to inertia and fear and ignorance, either obeys partly the compulsion of its environment and partly the spasmodic impulses of its desires, or finds a protection in the routine following of a dull customary intelligence. Third is the most common with tamas. You have got into this routine and you are doing it. If we do it for 50 years, something will happen. Rasari avat jate silpar padat nisan. Something will happen. But that's not what is expected of us. So this is the tamasic man who seeks ultimately a safe routine in which he can engage. The rajasic mind of desire struggles with the world in which it lives and tries to possess always new things to command, battle, conquer, create, destroy, accumulate. The rajasic man cannot work under anybody. He is not trained like that. He may be compelled to work. Then there will be fight. There will be always ambition. Me up, you up, struggle, conflict. All this will start with the rajasic man. The only way to keep him quiet is to give him some reward. That's what corporate sectors do. So he is fooled. Ah, see, my labor is being recognized. No labor is being recognized. He is after his money, chasing after his money or his ambition, and you have been made quiet so that you don't come in the way of his ambition, because normally seats of power was surrounded by rajasic people. So this is the format they occupy, right from old time kings, to keep you happy, to keep you quiet. So this is the rajasic man. Then the sattvic man. So rajasic man leads to, we should read it also, but in all, whatever law it may seem to admit, it follows really only the law of the lower self and ego, the restless, untired, self-devouring and all-devouring mind of the asuric and rakshasic nature. The sattvic intelligence surmounts partly this state, sees that a better law than that of desire and ego must be followed, and erects and imposes on itself a social, an ethical or religious rule, a dharma or shastra. So sattvic man will always say, no, this is the right thing to do, this is not the right thing to do. Which is okay if you want to apply to yourself, but it starts judging people based on this is the right thing or this is the wrong thing. It can go to any extreme because it believes that there are some yardsticks which it can apply to the whole world. That's how people cannot understand Krishna. they do Garbharas and they do all the Krishna prayers. But when it comes to following, they are more comfortable with Rama. Rama fits into the type of the man, ideal man. But Krishna is like escapes you on every side. You don't know where to fit him into a slot. So it's very difficult. But they appreciate he is an avatar. That's it. But that's the end of the story. So sattvic mind must be developed to its highest point, where it succeeds in putting away the mixture of ego motive altogether and observes the dharma for its own sake as an impersonal, social, ethical and religious ideal, the thing disinterestedly to be done solely because it is right, kartavyam karma. So in the context, let's say, of the ashram, it is like there is a time for going to the department. So now, basically, it's not like that Air Force, you have to be on time because somebody will mark. So people start taking it as a less is a fair. It's okay. There is no real work. I'll go when there is work. If there is no work, I will go around. You have to learn all these things. So it's okay. But then that's where you are deviating from the sattvic nature. You go there because you are supposed to be there. End of the story. So it's not that, like, I was given the work in marbling department. So I had to go and open the door. So there is a particular time, 7:45, you have to open the door. So of course, this money van will be even before me. She would go inside and then lock, close it from outside just to check whether I am doing the service or not. This is her way of training. She is arranging the flowers and all. But actually, who will come at 8 o'clock to buy from marbling department? People will come after 10 o'clock, which is what used to happen. So, I would want to sit and read something. And she said, no, in the workplace, just think of mother, don't do this. That time, fortunately, we didn't have cell phone. So, it was easy. Okay, I am not supposed to do this. So I'll sit. I mean, now of course, a lot of work has also shifted to cell phone. That's a different thing. But basically, it's like you are doing it because sattvically, first step is this. Later, you will be freed from this. You cannot be bound by any. But in the beginning, this is a training, just a training. So he says, he does it because this is the dharma for its own sake, as an impersonal, social, ethical or religious ideal, the thing disinterestedly to be done solely because it is right, kartavyam karma. And it comes in so many ways. Somebody lost his suitcase key. So he went to the key, duplicate key making department. He opened the suitcase with the key. This was a visitor. So he started going. He said, hold on, where are you going? He said, you have opened the suitcase. He said, no, I have to give you the duplicate key. He said, but I don't need. He said, it's not about you. I have not made it for you. This is what the mother has instructed. I have to make the duplicate because what if you lose this one? So he was very impressed and he sat through the whole process of the second key making. Now this is just one example. Several examples like that. I'm not doing it for anyone else but for the mother. So this is how it works. Each man has a swadharma, a law of his inner being, which he must observe, find out and follow. The action determined by his inner nature, that is his real swadharma. To follow it is the true law of his development. So what is the work you will do? Initially you will do this. To deviate from it is to bring in confusion, retardation and error. This is the beginning. This, that social, ethical, religious or other law and ideal is best for him always, which helps him to observe and follow out his swadharma. But this is not all. So there comes a time, page 593, but now, five lines from above, but now you can follow that action with a perfect self-knowledge and can make of it a sacrifice to the master of your existence. Follow then the law of your swadharma, do the action that is demanded by your swabhava, whatever it may be, reject all motive of egoism, all initiation by self-will, all rule of desire, until you can make the complete surrender of all the ways of your being to the Supreme. And it's so beautiful to see here. I've seen the trustees earlier. I was mentioning about Dhyuman Bhai. So close to mother, and he was, what kind of trustee he must have been. Intuitively so advanced. Not only close to mother, he foresaw his death, or rather the day he will go, completed the work till that day. 17th August, he is admitted, but on his file they noted that till 19th August he has written whatever he has to write. And 19th August he left his body. Now that caliber person, suddenly he told me one day, you want to come to Gloria? I said, yeah, I'll come with you. Come. So he called me, Kavita and myself, both of us are sitting, going to Gloria. So initially, he's a trustee and what. He was so cool, sitting quietly and with, his usual banyan, fatwa, and his dhoti. All through, just few questions, few things. He would hardly ask anything. And there, because you have that idea, first time I went with a trustee and a revered ashram inmate, what it would mean. Nothing, it was so cool. He took me around and he is showing me, he could have easily said, just show him this. And it had nothing to do. I'm sure he didn't know that what is my background. Right from beginning, he would just call. Same thing I have seen even with Pranabdha, going to his department. So one day I reached when he is just come. He is opening the windows and cleaning it. So for a moment I'm thinking, is this Dada? This is how they have gone. They have shown the way. There is no, they never had any secretary to any of these bigwigs. All these trustees, they never had a personal secretary. Everything they were doing, Amritda, till the last day, 8 o'clock, he's sitting. This is the path they have shown to man. So, mother's training. So, first, Swadharma and Swabhava, and not bring in ego, desire, ambition, etc. And when you are able to do that sincerely, that will be the moment to renounce the initiation of your acts without exception into the hands of the Supreme Godhead within you. Now, Swadharma also. See, where does Sri Aurobindo Yoga begin? Where the Yoga of the Gita ends? At the end, what does Sri Krishna tell him? He tells him, your Swadharma, like a Kshatriya, fight all this. But at the end, he says, Man mana abhav mad bhakta madhya jiva namaskaro. Be full of me, think of me, have love for me, adore me. And then he says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshishami masucha. So we have come a far distance from action done by desire and ego to an action done without attachment to the fruits, to an action where we, whatever the divine gives us, I am not the doer. Because in without fruits, I am still the doer. But I am not eyeing the fruits. Now, action done according to whatever the divine gives me. Action done by one's swabhava and swadharma. Then comes a point where you say, Sarvadharman parityaja. So that's where the Gita takes us. Then you will be released from all laws of conduct, liberated from all dharmas. This where the divine power and presence within you will free you from sin and evil and lift you far above human standards of virtue. For you will live and act in the absolute and spontaneous right and purity of the spiritual being and the immaculate force of the divine nature. The divine and not you will enact his own will and works through you, not for your lower personal pleasure and desire. This is the safety. So people say, this is too dangerous a freedom. Yes, but you are prepared through all this. It's too dangerous for a neophyte. But if you are prepared for through all this, where your personal desire, what I am going to get, all this goes away, your personal pleasure in all this, then it will be the divine movement within us. The divine and not you will enact his own will and works through you. Not for your lower personal pleasure and desire, but for the world purpose and for your divine good and the manifest or secret good of all. Inundated with light, you will see the form of the Godhead in the world and in the works of time know his purpose, and here is his command. Last line here is, the battle will be his, his the victory, his the empire. So in some of the, like Champak Lal ji was completely, his action was totally guided by an inner law. What he will do, to whom, there was no format. Several experiences I myself seen, people have seen. Even when there is a meeting going on, people want him to sit on the stage. Normally one would want to sit on the stage, you know, Champak Lal ji. He would sit down below, just enjoy. And when people say, no, this work, he would write and say, this work mother has given you, finished. I am nobody. But his presence would be so wonderful. In everything, it was like completely as self-effacing you can imagine. The person who lived in the bathroom which Sri Aurobindo was made for Sri Aurobindo. That is the sign of yoga. And not that people should recognize my stature, my place, my position. That is not even bhoga, but worse. So, this will be your perfection in the world and the body. It's not my battle. You see, when people fight my battle, then it becomes a clash of egos. They want to win and win somehow, anyhow, prove a point. It's not my battle. Even defeat is not my defeat. It never was my battle. I must do what is the true thing to do, regardless of the results. This will be your perfection in the world and the body, and beyond these worlds of temporal birth and supreme eternal superconsciousness will be yours, and you will dwell forever in the highest status of the Supreme Spirit. The cycles of incarnation and the fear of mortality will not distress you, for here in life you will have accomplished the expression of the Godhead. You'll go back satisfied. That's the sign. Somebody was telling me about, again, I don't know, better not to take the name. There is an individual who stole a lot of sentences from here and there, including Sri Aurobindo, and wrote commentaries on Upanishads, nothing to do with the ashram, but he became president of India. I'm almost giving every kind of hint, huh? Long back. But towards the end, he was so miserable. He went through such depression. What is the use of that? You can fool the world. You cannot fool the divine inside. And another prime minister, I wrote a letter to Harikant Bhai that this book has letters of Sri Aurobindo quoted here. This I can mention because I had Discovery of India. I wrote to Harikant Bhai. I said, I was reading the book. Somebody told me and I saw a letter of Sri Aurobindo half quoted and no acknowledgement. I said, how is this permitted? Obviously, I got no reply. So I wrote again. No reply. So finally I realized. I said, you tell him, this is not done. This, you at least quote. Sri Aurobindo used the word, yes, yes. A lot of people are doing this. Just imagine. So, but what you are missing is the delight. The possibility of becoming one with the Lord. How beautiful to acknowledge that I am his servant and slave. It is such a big thing. Such a beautiful thing. As he writes in one of his aphorisms, God's servant is something, God's slave is better. So, we come to the last paragraph. This then is the supreme movement. This complete surrender of your whole self and nature. This abandonment of all dharmas to the divine who is your highest self. This absolute aspiration of all your members to the supreme spiritual nature. If you can once achieve it, whether at the outset or much later on the way, then whatever you are or where in your outward nature, your way is sure and your perfection inevitable. Basically, at different stages in different ways, life will put a question, who are you? Sometimes you will get troubled, sometimes insult, sometimes. But the moment you take it that you are mother's child, that's the end of the story. Nothing belongs to me. Neither the praise nor the insults. Everything she takes care of. Maybe you will pray if somebody is insulting mother. Please don't. Once mother told to a disciple who was very angry with mother and thinking things, and then his knee got very badly swollen. Next day he came for mother's darshan. So mother knew the whole story. So he thought that mother has given me a punishment. Mother knew the thoughts. He said, "My child, I don't do that. I never punish anyone. I am all grace." Then she says, "But you know, there are the gods. There are the gods." This is a story of a person who was given, who thought that I should take some food and feed it to some, I think it was Vivekananda ji's story, that some Swamiji is coming and you must give him food. He was quite hungry, traveling in the train, and so someone sitting opposite him told him, "Are you don't have money to buy?" He said, "Yeah, it doesn't matter. I have few chana and I'll eat it." So he said certain things, and he said, "Doesn't matter. God is looking after me. He will take care. If I need, he will provide me." Next station, the person came with lot of whole thali full of things. So now it is his turn. So he asked, "What happened? How did you know? No communication." He said, no, "I saw in a dream that some Swamiji is coming and next station you have to carry. But I take it, just a dream. I slept off. Then Hanumanji came in my dream with this gada. And he hit me. Wake up, wake up." After all, Rudravatar, no. So it's understandable. Hanuman is also Rudravatar and he was also Rudravatar. He says, "Hanumanji hit me, you make it." The dream said, "You make it immediately, the food, and take it." He was a halwai, of course. So he prepared, reached at time, and then the train came. He's looking for where is the Swamiji. Those days it was easy because, very few would wear this cloth, so they recognized. So when God is taking care, then why should you worry? Actually, I don't understand that, you know. There is a song, no? Jab Sanya Bhaye Kotwal, to Dar Khaega. So Kotwal is the Daruga in the police station. But when Sanya Bhaye Bhagwan, to Dar Khaega. Jab the one whom you love is the divine, why would you be worried? Why would you be afraid? Because he'll take care. So here, this is the supreme liberation. You don't have to worry then what are your defects. He will take care of everything. A supreme presence within you will take up your yoga. That's what Shubhendu says. The last stage when the mother takes up the yoga. And carry it swiftly along the lines of your sabhava to its consummate completion. And afterwards, whatever your way of life and mode of action, you will be consciously living, acting and moving in him. And the divine power will act through you in your every inner and outer motion. The closing sentence, this is the supreme way because it is the highest secret and mystery. And yet an inner movement progressively realizable by all. This is the deepest and most intimate truth of your spiritual existence. Okay. Jai Ma. You'll just stay quiet for a couple of minutes. Okay. Jai Ma.